Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Old familiar feelings for a couple of frustrated fan bases. And yet the thrill of victory and a breakthrough redemption for a couple of other fan bases who've waited their turn. And in one case, a fan base who now has an opportunity to experience something it has never experienced before. That's just a taste of what Wednesday on the Baseball Diamond was all about. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy Thursday to you. If you're a Nationals fan or if you're a Cardinals fan, you are even more excited about the way these winner-take-all games played out. And I've said this a couple times on the show, but it blows me away. If you were late to the party, so maybe you were still working on the East Coast or West Coast or anywhere in between, and you missed the first half hour of the first game, you missed 10 runs. And it almost took exactly a half an hour, 27 minutes of action. 27 minutes in a pitching change. 10 runs later, the Cardinals have silenced the fans at SunTrust Park who made it there on time and have all but signed that the dotted line to say, whoo, we've made it to our first NLCS since 2014. The story's nearly done. Or if you're one of those people that went to bed, maybe you're on the East Coast, or you had already partied hard if you were a Cardinals fan and didn't really care who they were facing, although home field advantage was riding on it. Maybe you decided, gosh, I'll just find out in the morning because this game's going to extra innings and I can't stay up. Yeah, well, that last half hour packed a punch as well. So two teams heading to the NLCS. Unlikely for sure. Both teams, multiple times, facing elimination down to a handful of outs before they change the narrative. Flip the script, baby. Boy, do I love sports, and October is never short on drama. I feel as though the last few years, October has really ratcheted up the dramatic quotient. It's incredible what we've seen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. So for those of you who did not stay up for the end of Game 5 in Los Angeles, okay, fine. Some of us have jobs that don't require that we stay up all night and talk about sports. I get it. But maybe you thought the Dodgers offense had done its job. It got to Steven Strasburg in the first, as well as the second, plated three runs on a couple of homers by Max Muncy, and then Kike Hernandez and Walker Buehler. He was good. He was exactly what Dave Roberts needed him to be. He allowed one run on four hits, got out of a couple of jams in both the fifth and the sixth innings, and then even pitched into the seventh. Now, it started out with a scary moment when Kurt Suzuki had a ball carom off his wrist up into the bill of his helmet, knocked his helmet off, and hit him in the face. So that was scary, but Buehler seemed to settle down. You can imagine how that might rattle a pitcher. Yan Gomes comes into the game, but Buehler's able to get a couple of outs. And then finally, Clayton Kershaw comes on in relief, gets the final out of the eighth, a 1-2-3 strikeout of Adam Eaton. You couldn't have asked for a better formula to that point. Oh, but see, if you turned off the TV, gosh, you missed some stuff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So this is where the questions begin, right? Why was Clayton Kershaw still on the mound in the eighth inning? There were other opportunities in the bullpen, other guys who were up. And instead, it's Kershaw who's out there. And Dave Roberts said after the game, it's Clayton Kershaw. I trust him. I would still turn to him in this situation because he's one of the best.
Kershaw's 1-0 to Rendon. Swung on, hit in the air to deep left center field. Taylor going back. Warning track at the wall. He leaps. It is gone. Goodbye. Bang. Zoom goes Rendon on the second pitch from Clayton Kershaw. And this is now a one-run game here in the top of the eighth inning. Here's the pitch. He swings and belts one to deep right center field. Way back. Going. Going. And gone. Goodbye. Halfway up the pavilion. A tremendous game. Tying. Home run by Juan Soto. And this game is all even.
All even at three on back-to-back pitches. Gosh, Clayton Kershaw has done so much in his career, and even in the postseason, he's had some really big wins, but he's also had some really painful, very high-profile losses, or in this case, a very loud couple of home runs that made it back to even. The calls there on the Nationals radio network. Joe Kelly gets a 1-2-3 ninth for the Dodgers, and we head to extras, Chavez Ravine. Now, the Dodgers have got some big bats, right? Except against the Nationals bullpen. This is the Nationals bullpen we're talking about. One hit. That's it. The Dodgers bats have to bear some responsibility for what happened as well. But the questions will persist, not just about Clayton Kershaw, but about Joe Kelly. Why was he still on the mound and not Kenley Jansen in the 10th inning? So Kelly walks Eaton, then gives up an Anthony Rendon double before an intentional walk to Juan Soto. Of course, he had had the game-tying home run, the 20-year-old, with some incredible moments in this postseason. So the bases are loaded, and yet Joe Kelly stays on the mound. Dave Roberts will try to explain that. He'll have no choice after this game is over.
Kelly's one-strike pitch. Swinging a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back to the warning track, to the wall. It's a grand slam. Howie Kendrick has done it. They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. The Nationals 7, the Dodgers 3. Do you believe it?
I really don't. The more I think about it, the more improbable and unlikely it becomes. Howie Kendrick, 36 years old. He'd been hitless in 4 at-bats in Game 5, but it had a brutal series. One RBI, couple of hits, couple of very high-profile errors, and yet he's the one who comes up in that situation, calls it the best moment of his career, says you can't dream that up. The first ever National League Championship Series for the Washington Nationals after they started 19-31. Incredible, right? And so the wild swing of emotions. A 3-0 lead for the Dodgers into the eighth inning. And then 7 runs in the eighth. None in the ninth, but again in the 10th. Getting to that Dodgers bullpen. And I really wondered which bullpen would blink first. So often this year, it's been the Nationals, but it wasn't the Nationals on Wednesday night. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Davey Martinez, as you can imagine, he's so proud of his guys. They started out in the basement. I mean, they started out with such a brutal spring. You may or may not know this, but since May 24th, the Dodgers and Nationals have had the exact same record, or they did until last night. And so Martinez, extremely proud of his guys, but specifically Howie Kendrick and the way that he came through when he had to.
What I know from Howie is he's going to give me everything he has. It may not always be good, but at the end of the day, I know what I'm going to get. And I couldn't be more proud.
He's the epitome of a professional hitter. He's like 45 years old and still doing this. But man, I mean, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make errors. I mean, we're human. We're not, you know, perfect people. I mean, that's a part of the game, and he's not going to give up. He's just going to continue to keep on trucking, and that man can hit.
That man can hit. 36 years old, a journeyman. I mean, just, it's crazy, right? The most unlikely man of the hour. And then think back to game number 4. It was 35-year-old Ryan Zimmerman. The old guys rock. They do. And so Kendrick basking in what is again, the best moment of his career. That's how he termed it. Meanwhile, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, I mean, guys in tears, Walker Buehler, 25 years old, maybe the most painful moment of his career. And Max Muncy, too, who'd had a really good series, had another home run in this one. They were really quick to defend Clayton Kershaw. So Muncy said right away, this is not on Clayton.
We had opportunities to win, and not only in this game and a couple other games. So it's no, it's not on him at all. It's on all of us. We're a team. When it's a team, it's a team. It's no individual performances here.
I mean, Muncy can say that.
I had one job to do, just get three outs, and got one out, and didn't get the other two, and it went over the fence, cost us the game right there. So it's a terrible feeling. You know, there's no excuses. Just didn't make pitches, and guy hit it over the fence twice.
So Clayton Kershaw, the face that you saw more than any other until Howie Kendrick hit that grand slam, it was Clayton that the camera kept panning to. And he says, I had one job. This was my job, and this is my fault because I gave up those two home runs on two pitches. Lots of people pointing at Dave Roberts. Lots of people wanting to know, why did you use Joe Kelly when you had Kenley Jansen in the 10th inning? Yes, the questions will persist about Clayton Kershaw. Dave Roberts just doing his best to explain what he was doing at the end of Game 5.
Kelly, you're looking at obviously a tie ball game, and Kelly goes in there, throws 10 pitches, and he's throwing the baseball really well. He's arguably our most, you know, rested reliever in the way he was throwing the baseball. So I felt it was pretty easy. Don't have a lot of guys as far as, you know, behind Kenley. I liked Joe right there in that spot. I really did. After 10 pitches, there was no stress, ball coming out well. And so for him to go out there and take down that inning and to have Kenley take down the other part of the order, I felt really good about it. And as far as that, second and third, nobody out. You're in a tie ball game. Yeah, you could go to Kelerick. Infield's going to be in. Hope for a punch, but I just felt that Joe had a good chance to put Howie on the ground and potentially then get Kenley on Zimmerman. And so my thought was to try to get a ground ball right there.
Bases loaded, nobody out. Ground ball would have been great. Instead, it was a Howie Kendrick grand slam. I'm not sure who I feel worse for. I mean, as much as it's exciting and the Cardinals and the Nationals have earned this opportunity and you have to be thrilled for them, and we'll get to what the Cardinals did in Atlanta. I mean, the Nationals have never made the championship series, not since they moved to D.C. And even in their franchise history, it's been decades since they were at this point. And they've had so many playoff disappointments. The D.C. sports fans, they could certainly identify until, of course, the Capitals won the Stanley Cup a couple of summers ago. And so I feel terrible. I mean, I feel excited for them, but I feel terrible because it always comes at the expense of another team, right? That's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And I'm not sure who I feel worse for. Is it Clayton Kershaw? Yeah, I feel pretty bad for him because, you know, he wants so desperately to change the narrative around him in the postseason, but he also wants to win a World Series. And it's said even before October started, you don't take these opportunities for granted anymore. But then what about Mike Foltynewicz? What about Freddie Freeman, who boots a ball in the first inning when the Cardinals only had one run and the inning's extended and it gets worse and worse and worse for the Braves? I mean, they never gave themselves a chance. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of nightmare moments that these guys are going to live over and over again, and yet you've got these incredible storylines with both the Nationals and the Cardinals, who were down to a handful of outs more than once and able to rally in back-to-back elimination games. Not sure if you know this, but Bryce Harper left the Nationals as a free agent. I wonder, what was Bryce Harper doing last night? Actually, of all the things I tweeted during these two games, that's the one that you responded to the most. So I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. But I want to pass this nerd alert on to you, because it's pretty incredible. Again, this is absolute redemption. The Nationals are the first and only team in baseball history ever to twice come back from at least three runs down in elimination games in the same postseason. It's never happened before.
Men lie, women lie, but the numbers don't.
Never happened that a team has twice been this far down. Remember, they were trailing the Brewers and now the Dodgers. In both cases, in elimination games, they were able to come back and extend their season. And they gave their fans some heart palpitations, maybe some moments where they wanted to throw up. And yet here they are into the NLCS. And the Cardinals will be hosting them in game one on Friday. So you've got the Cardinals with the home field advantage. How did that happen? Improbable, unlikely. I don't believe what I just saw. Gosh, what a day. I love October. All right, so we'll get to the Cardinals. The first inning. I mean, it's not as though the game ended there, but talk about making a statement right off the jump. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here is the pitch to Colton Wong. Runners at second and third. Infield in. Swing and a line drive into left center. That's going to score two more. And the Cardinals lead 9-0. It's a double by Wong. Let her rip, boys. Let her rip. First inning action. Cardinals lead 9-0. I'll say it one more time. Cardinals lead 9-0. Jack Flaherty prepared to go to the mound. Here's the pitch to Osuna. Swing and it gets away from the catcher, and he goes down to first base, and he's safe at first, and the run scores, and it's 10-0. Wow.
This has been a very long, painful loss in a lot of ways. Swing and a miss, struck him out, and the season is over. Cardinals will celebrate on the field and then take it back to the clubhouse. Bear hugs begin, and soon St. Louis will find itself in the National League Championship Series. The Braves season comes to an end as the Cardinals win the NLDS 3-2, punctuated by a 13-1 win here tonight at SunTrust Park.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You have the bookends of Game 5 in Atlanta and two very different perspectives. First, runs 8, 9, and 10 in an historical first inning, courtesy of Mike Shannon and the Cardinals Radio Network. And then the very last out of this division series at SunTrust Park with the Braves Radio Network. This was a stunning first half hour, 27 minutes to be exact. Just the way that it unfolded. I'm not sure I had any words, and I'm the person who talks for a living, but certainly Brian Snitker, as the manager of the Braves, was also still struggling for words to describe it once this was over. Again, there were 10 runs played in 27 minutes before you ever saw Jack Flaherty take the mound. That's some kind of cushion for a pitcher in hostile territory.
Yeah, I don't know. Wasn't how we drew it up, I know that, but... I don't know. That thing just kept rolling, and we couldn't stop it. Anybody.
The most runs scored in the single inning of a division series or a winner-take-all game. It's never happened in the first inning before. And so, as you can imagine, it took a lot of pressure off of the pitching staff for the Cardinals. Jack Flaherty ends up going through six innings, allows just a run on four hits, and has 8 strikeouts. And gosh, it would be nice if every single time a pitcher took the mound, he had that kind of run support.
And that's going to surprise anybody. Our guys are going to go out and do their job. But 10 runs is something else. That's something else to really get right there. So you get 10 runs like that, and it makes my job easier. But also, we got to stay locked in and go out and put up zero as much as we can. Keep shutting them down.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Also inside the Braves clubhouse, there were multiple guys who wanted to take the responsibility and the blame. So Mike Foltynewicz, he was distraught. I mean, obviously you can understand why. He had pitched a near perfect game number two, scoreless for seven innings. And this is a guy who spent a good portion of the year in the minor league system, but then gets charged with seven runs before he gets two outs. So he lasts a third of an inning, gets charged with seven runs on just 23 pitches. But Freddie Freeman said, hey, this one's actually on me. So Freeman with a costly error, the Cardinals had played just one run, and there's a hard hit ball to Freeman at first base. And instead of turning a double play, he boots it and the inning goes on. And he actually says, forget anybody else. This is my fault.
I didn't come through. I know everybody's going to say what they want to say, but this one's on me.
Gosh, like I said, the thrill of victory for the Cardinals and the Nationals, who multiple times were down to a handful of outs. In the case of the Cardinals, they had four outs to go in game four. That was it before Yadier Molina hit the game-tying single that just went right over the glove of the first baseman. And so they were staring at elimination more than once. And the same thing for the Nationals. So you're thrilled for them, and the stories are incredible. But then flip side, I mean, maybe it's because I'm a girl, I don't know. But I feel so terrible for Folty and for Freeman and for Clayton Kershaw and for the guys who just saw that abrupt end and just couldn't have been more different in these two games. Stunning. It was a stunning day of baseball, that's for sure. The first half hour and the last half hour, if that's all you saw, yeah, it was enough. It's enough to really make you understand how anything can and will happen in October. All right, so we'll take your calls, 855-212-4227. Lots of you weighing in. We've actually talked to people who were at Chavez Ravine, so at the Dodgers game, as well as fans who were at the watch party at Nationals Park. Some of you were talking about how you had tickets to the Braves game. Ricardo says on Facebook, I usually get there a little after the first inning starts. I enjoy the food and experience outside the park in the Battery. Then I proceed inside the park, and that was the case for game five. When I got inside SunTrust Park, it was a little quiet. I looked up at the score and I was shocked. I thought maybe I came too late and noticed the top of the first inning. I thought it was a mistake. Yeah, weirdly enough, if you saw the 10 spot up on the board, you almost thought it was like a mistake by the scoreboard operator. It was crazy. Andrew, why are you giving me that weird look?
That guy, so he was outside the stadium. Mm-hmm. In a place that wasn't showing the game, so he walked in not knowing at all what
happened?
Maybe
it was showing the game, but he wasn't paying attention.
That's odd.
Yeah. I mean, he was getting his food, he was getting his drink, he was settled in for the long haul.
I thought that was going to end with, so I just didn't go inside because it was 10-0, not, I had no idea it was 10-0.
But think about it, though. I mean, Atlanta, well-known for its crazy traffic, and the new park, SunTrust, is not downtown, it's out in the suburbs.
Right.
And so, there's no doubt there were people who didn't make it to the first half of the first inning, and I'm sure there were people who left after. But, I mean, getting caught in traffic, having to worry about trying to get out of the city at that time, and rush hour.
Oh, yeah. I'm just assuming that they had, like, the radio on in their car, so they were slamming their steering wheel instead of paying attention.
The
seat in front of them.
But still, like, no doubt there were people who just decided they weren't going.
Yeah, never mind.
I mean, or who left after that first inning. I just can't even
imagine.
I'll
turn this car around.
Once I find a way to turn this car around. Oh, my gosh. But still, exciting for the Nationals. Great for the Cardinals back in the NLCS for the first time since 14. So we got some good storylines, but wowzers, not what I expected.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is everything that I wanted to do. I wanted to come back and get a chance at the postseason, and this is it for me. So I'm going to go home and be a dad and play with those kids.
When you say this is it, what do you...
This is it. This is it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Seven-time All-Star catcher, World Series champ from 2017, Brian McCann says he's known for months that he was planning on retiring whenever this season ended. But gosh, what a stunning way for it to come to its abrupt end. So the catcher for the Atlanta Braves, two stints, of course, with the Braves, because he had, as a Georgia native, had his first nine seasons there in an Atlanta uniform. He went back, played in Atlanta, and now says that he's walking away after 15 seasons. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm still processing it. It's still so like real and prominent in my brain. And I think the adrenaline has gotten me through this show because I don't know that I've yet calmed down over everything that we saw. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. And of course, we've got another Game 5 coming up tonight. So Thursday night features the start of Week 6 in the NFL and our final Game 5 of the Division Series. The Yankees await the winner of either the Rays and the Astros. I wonder how many Astros fans are nervous seeing what we just saw from two underdogs on the road. I mean, the Dodgers had one less win than did the Houston Astros this year, 107 and 106. The Twins at 100 wins, and they're out. I mean, it's crazy the way that October can unfold in front of us. I've said that a bunch of times tonight, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's wildly appropriate. Francis is listening in San Francisco. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello there, Amy. How are you?
I can't hear you.
Oh, on speaker. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, so the Dodgers losing, however they lose, is okay with me. I do feel bad for the individual players, though. Mm. That has to be very painful.
Yeah, especially the way it happened.
I mean,
plenty of guys who will take blame for it, and I appreciate that the other teammates will say, hey, we win as a team, we lose as a team. And that's true. I mean, the Dodgers don't get to where they are without Clayton Kershaw. They don't get to where they are without Joe Kelly. They don't get to where they are without those bats that went silent against the bullpen. And the same thing goes for the Atlanta Braves. They don't get to where they are without Dallas Keuchel or without, you know, the guys who didn't come up with hits. Or, I mean, same thing with Freddie Freeman. Where would they be without Freddie Freeman? And yet here he is taking responsibility for that loss.
The double play that he didn't turn.
Right, exactly the error.
Yeah, and to stay out there on the field inning after inning and you're already down by 10.
Right, and then 13. Ouch.
Yes, very much. May I make one other comment?
Sure.
As far as the NBA is concerned, freedom of speech, Adam Silver can't do anything but allow for that.
Sure.
The general manager is a human being. Twitter is definitely how people communicate, a la our president. But I also believe that this is a pound of flesh that China can extract based upon the tariffs and everything else, although they do conduct their business in the press as they do. But I think the timing is just a little bit too coincidental. And it's unfortunate that sportsmanship and global charity is being minimized on politics, because the statement wasn't really that bad. It's about freedom and humanity and people. That's
well,
what
sure,
we do here,
sure, but that's not what China's about, though. I mean, the two governments are completely different. And so I agree with you. That's what we're about. And I am proud of Adam Silver that he refuses to denounce what Daryl Morey said, or to say, you know, our general managers, our players are not allowed to speak up, because that's not what we represent in the United States. But that's clearly not the Chinese government. And that's nothing new. We've known this about the Chinese government for forever.
Was he in China when he said it? Because how can some other country police our country on a sport? It's general conversation, civil discourse. I understand their position, but how do you police another land?
Right. No, you can't. But that's what they do to their people. And so they're ticked off that they're hosting NBA events and these different outreaches and NBA cares and media availability and games. And that while they're doing that, and they feel like they're opening up their doors, so to speak, to the NBA, that this is what's happening. But again, in the United States, we take that for granted, that we are allowed to speak up, whether it's with our actual mouths or whether it's with our phones and our devices. And that's not how it is in other places, not in China. And I mean, as someone who spent time in Cuba over the last 4 years, definitely not in Cuba. Men and women get thrown in jail for speaking out against the government. So we are blessed here, and we don't realize how good we have it.
Cannot take it for granted. Was Mr. Moray in China when he said it?
That's a good question. I don't believe he was, but I could be wrong. I don't think that he was there when he said it. I think just knowing that the NBA was going, but don't quote me on that. I could be completely wrong.
Well, when in Rome, you do what the Romans do. I do believe that, and maybe a little bit more consideration to current events surrounding his job, because if that's coming, these games are coming, that might not be the most tactical decision that he could make for his job and everyone else that could be affected.
I don't know that it shouldn't affect his job at all. Again, in the United States, that's ridiculous. But I understand what you're saying. Probably not the most tactful thing, but I don't think that he cared. There are a lot of people who feel the same way that he does. And just it's unfortunate that it's all happening now when you've got teams that are over there and staff members who are there and now whether they feel unsafe or not, but having all of these charitable events getting canceled and their opportunity to, you know, to reach out to schools and those types of things. And the Chinese government's essentially using this as I don't want to say propaganda, but as a way to kind of prop up their own views and their own controlling of the message. So, Francis, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
855-212-4227. Since I want to be sure about that, Chris is looking that up, but I don't believe Daryl Morey was there. It's the Lakers and the Nets that right now are in China. And so the tweet went back to last Friday, and all of these various events are surrounding a couple of what are supposed to be preseason games. They've had protesters now at preseason games, which, you know, could be a little bit unsettling. And I think the Chinese government is kind of tracing that back to this tweet from Daryl Morey. But in the eyes of the Chinese government, it's exacerbated by the fact that Adam Silver is the commissioner who is in the Far East. He was in Japan. Now he's in China. He refuses to condemn Daryl Morey or to say, hey, you're not allowed to say stuff like that. Again, it's a freedom that we take for granted here in the United States. And for those of you who have traveled outside the country, who've been to other places, in the case of communism, having spent time, like I said, in Cuba, other places where the government is corrupt and you don't get to speak out, it's a freedom that I very much appreciate, especially as someone who talks for a living. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Did I already say we're brought to you toll-free by Geico? Do I need to say it again? Okay, I don't need to say it again, but yay, Geico. Coming up on Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader. In addition to all the baseball postseason, many of you will see two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the game airing it out. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs will welcome Deshaun Watson and the Texans, followed by the Cowboys visiting the Jets. And it all begins with JB and the guys getting you focused for football on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS. We've talked a little bit about football. We'll do a lot more coming up on our final show of the work week like we always do. But it's almost weird that, because this doesn't happen very often, that you can have a night on the baseball diamond with two such compelling games and two completely different games. And the NFL can take a backseat. Again, it doesn't happen very often that the spotlight trails away from the NFL, especially in the middle of the season. But it was kind of cool for baseball to grab the center ring of the circus. Bill says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, I can't recall two series deciding games in the same day, which were as stunning in the completely different ways they were decided. No way could these be predicted. And the only thing more crazy would be the Rays beating Gerrit Cole and the Astros tonight. Well, there is that possibility. In a game five, anything can happen. Kevin Cash, he likes their chances, even though they're on the road in Houston.
We've got really good pitching. I think that's the biggest key. I like the fact that for the most part, we have attacked them in the strike zone. They're an offense that I think we saw a little bit with Emilio. If you mess around and don't establish strikes, they're going to get you, and they're going to find their way on base, and that's when they really get the big hit.
So there are so many different ways that we've seen these postseason games go, and I wonder, what does Game 5 in Houston have in store for us? Could you have imagined that Justin Verlander would lose in Game number 4, though he was in a situation in which he'd never been? Gerrit Cole, also a 20-game winner, and to a man, the Houston Astros, frustrated with themselves for wasting the opportunities in Games 3 and 4, but also confident because it's going to be a mob scene at Minute Maid Park, and they believe in Gerrit as well as in the rest of the pitchers they have available. But I don't know, if I'm an Astros fan, I'm probably a little nervous considering what's happened so far in these division series. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. This news dropped right about the time that the Cardinals were scoring runs 7 and 8 and 9. Raiders linebacker Vontaze Burfict had his appeal denied. And so he is, in fact, suspended for the rest of the year, unpaid. The league announced that decision, and you just get the sense that they're done messing around with Vontaze Burfict. They've warned him after all of these suspensions and fines in the past with the Cincinnati Bengals. They warned him and they warned him and they warned him. And his blatant disregard for the rules, the way the rules have changed, his blatant disregard and really just his disdain for the rules, he's made that very evident and took this opportunity to deliver a helmet-to-helmet hit on Jack Doyle, the Colts tight end. It was out there in the middle of the field for all the world to see. And not only was he tossed out in the second quarter of that game, that was going back to week 4, but he was also suspended right away. And the league has decided they've already lightened a suspension in the past for him. Remember, he had a 5-game suspension once that was shortened to 3, and they're not doing it again. And John Runyon certainly is done. He's the guy that wrote the letter and was like, hey, man, I've warned you. And you continued to run afoul and run amok of our rules. And I can't help but think that not only are they ticked at Burfict, but they're also ready to make an example of someone, anyone, because of these helmet-to-helmet hits. So we will talk a lot more football. Our next and last show of the work week. Who, I don't know when my adrenaline is going to wear off. I just know that I spent the last 4 hours talking primarily about baseball, and my heart rate is still elevated. Gosh, it's October. I love it. All right, so find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What do you think Bryce Harper's doing right now? And also on our Facebook page. And then we're back tonight following Astros Rays and Giants Patriots. Join us then. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.